Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast. My name is Christopher Harris and I'm joined by my co-host Kartik Krishnayar. We're continuing our preview of the English Premier League season for the 2022-23 season that begins on Friday, August 5th. This is going to be part two. In part one of the podcast, we covered the teams that we believe will be in the fight in the bottom five, trying to avoid relegation. Now we're going to continue the conversation and talk about the teams right above that. So roughly in 15th position to 10th position, roughly. And of course, there's going to be some disagreements in terms of where these teams end up. But here we go with part two of our conversation. All right. Another club that I think will be down in it, down in the kind of that bottom half of the table, and that's Leicester. And Leicester, I just feel, Kartik, they've lost their rudder. I feel that it's been a really quiet summer for the Foxes. I think they'll be depending, Brendan Rodgers will be depending a lot on the players that they have that have been injured. They didn't get a lot of playing time. And now, finally, he probably feels that, okay, hey, we've got a core group of players that can produce. But I just feel that they're lacking something. So I don't know if it's just in terms of... the investment from the owners in terms of going out there and getting some players to improve this squad. I just feel that they're really plateauing or have the possibility of a plateau season this year.
I think this is going to be our first major disagreement, and I will concede what you're saying is a popular opinion right now, that Leicester are going to fall off. There's some feeling that they might even be in a relegation fight. I think that they haven't signed anyone, but they also, to this point, haven't lost Madison. They haven't lost Telemans. You have a fit Fofana. Now, let's keep in mind, last year he got hurt in the last friendly, and that really disrupted their season. You have a fit James Justin, which you didn't have most of last season. You have a fit Pereira, which you generally don't have. I think that if they could keep fitness levels higher than they have the last three seasons, they can still finish in the top eight. Now, you look at the team as it is right now, they're as strong, assuming a certain degree of fitness, as they were the seasons they finished fifth and were in the top four for the entire year until the final match day. But they haven't gotten reinforcements. And of course, Chris, guys will get injured, and it's Leicester. They naturally get injured, it seems. They have more injury problems, fitness issues, than any other side in the Premier League consistently over the last three seasons. So I don't think they're going to get relegated. I don't think they're going to be in a relegation fight like some people are suspecting, but they do need to enhance their depth. And I think part of Rodgers' standing pat this year is they have not been rated the way they had in the past, right? They haven't lost a Maguire or a Chilwell or a Mahrez or a Conte this summer. Much to people's surprise, right? Madison and Telemans, particularly. Those two guys have not been poached yet. Oh, I should mention, Ndidi was hurt much of last season, too. That was a big, big deal. And in fact, the previous season when Leicester finished fifth, if you took the matches where Ndidi, Madison, and Vardy were all fit, they would have finished second or third. So there are fitness issues with the club, but I still think the quality of that side is top eight, maybe top six, given where Manchester United are and Chelsea are. But it is always an injury situation with Rodgers, and maybe Also, Chris, things have grown kind of stale with this set of players. You could also argue that, right? They've had this core under Brendan Rodgers since he left Celtic, which now must have been about 4 years ago. And they've come so close to making the Champions League. They did win an FA Cup in there. Let's not forget that. Maybe the race is run for a lot of these guys. That's another possibility. I guess I've given the case both for pessimism and optimism, but I'm more optimistic. I don't like the people who are saying, I think maybe it's they're being controversial saying, hey, Leicester could get relegated. I don't think it's even a possibility, honestly.
Yeah, I think you're looking at them as top eight. I'm looking at them as bottom eight, and I think that being stale is the factor for me. Fofana, yeah, I'm really excited to see what he's got this season. Now that he's fully back from injury. All right, Kartik, who's up next? Who's your team in the same general area of the bottom eight of the Premier League table for this season?
I guess we would say Forest under Steve Cooper. But I have no reason to be pessimistic about this team. I think they're going to be a top side. I think they're going to be not a top side, but I think they're going to be Brentford last season. I think much like Brentford came up through the playoffs, the two teams that finished at the top of the championship with automatic promotion both went right back down, both struggled in the Premier League. Brentford had more of a playing style under Thomas Frank that was suited to the Premier League. I think it's the same thing with Steve Cooper at Nottingham Forest, and he's added some really big pieces, most notably Jesse Lingard. Not limited to Jesse Lingard, but most notably Jesse Lingard. I don't think they're going to have any problem with relegation. I mean, there'll be moments in the season where it's nervy, right, where they looks like they're getting sucked back in or they're only a couple points clear. But much like Brentford last season, I think when they're going to need to get results, they'll get them and they'll stay up. Bottom eight, yes. Bottom three, no. There'll be somewhere 14th, 15th, 16th, safe.
What I don't understand is some of the negativity about Jesse Lingard on social media, where after this deal was done, a lot of people kind of just like shooting it down, basically saying like, yeah, this is crazy. You mean Jesse Lingard's, the team's going to get relegated. Why is he going there? But I like Jesse Lingard, and I think he's a player that hasn't got the opportunities that he should have done at Man United. And we saw what he did at West Ham United. It looked like a kind of a new player in many ways, but it was because he was given the opportunities and also with David Moyes as a man manager, given the confidence. And I think with Steve Cooper at Nottingham Forest, he's the type of person similar to Moyes, very tactician, but also a man manager. So I see Jesse Lingard getting some goals for Forest, and I see Brennan Johnson definitely being a key factor in midfield, supplying a lot of those balls into Jesse Lingard. And Forest has made several signings this summer already, and it looks like they're going to make several more. So I really think that Forest, out of the three clubs promoted from the Championship, Forest will end above Fulham and above Bournemouth. I'm really, really looking forward to watching Nottingham Forest. I mean, part of it, though, Kartik, is there's a little bit of a nostalgia or a romanticism about Nottingham Forest, us willing them to do better than what they may get. But I can see Nottingham Forest easily ending mid-table, which is a huge success for Forest.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I think we do have to be careful about getting caught up in that nostalgia. I think a lot of us got caught up in it two seasons ago when Fulham came up. Leeds came up, and it was justified. They ended up finishing ninth. I'm not saying Forest are going to finish ninth, but I think it's more likely they finish 12th than they finish 19th, honestly.
Yeah, and again, too, I'm looking forward to seeing the city ground at Nottingham Forest there, and the fans singing Mull of Kintyre, the song that from, was it Wings?
It's a Wings song, or yeah. Paul... It was actually one of the few Wings songs, a little bit of trivia here, that Paul McCartney gave co-writing credit to Denny Lane on. So I think the royalties from that song sustained Denny Lane for a while, even though He had an acrimonious split with Wings and McCartney after McCartney's arrest in Japan. But yeah, Wilt Mull of Kintyre, beautiful song. Not as big a hit on this side of the Atlantic as it was on that side of the Atlantic, but a song that all Beatles and Wings fans really appreciate. That's really kind of peak McCartney. And we haven't heard it in the Premier League for 23 years.
Yeah. So for most of our listeners, most of our readers, etc., this is going to be a first time to hear this in the Premier League in terms of that song. And again, too, this is another club, too, that just a quaint ground right on the river. Again, another team right on the river, River Trent, and a lot of history. And I'm just really excited to see Nottingham Forest. And to me, like Nottingham Forest against Leeds United, I can't wait for that one, Kartik. That's going to be Don Revie against Brian Clough all over again. The damned United.
Yeah, absolutely. And Don Revie, by the way, his name came up in the Conservative Party debate last night between Liz Truss, or forum between Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak, as we record this. I know you're going to listen to this later. So Don Revie, very much on people's minds. It's not all about Clough all the time. Liz Truss evoked Don Revie, which was, I think, a good shout because she was in Yorkshire.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sure.
All right, so we're approaching kind of that mid-table section of the Premier League table, roughly. And again, Kartik and I will probably, I'm sure, we'll have different opinions about where we think these clubs will end up. A team that I think will end mid-table, or might be slightly below mid-table, is Aston Villa. Now, I appreciate what Steven Gerrard and Aston Villa Football Club are trying to build at Villa Park, but I have a feeling that the results are not going to meet the expectations, and a large part of the club's success in this season will depend on three Brazilians playing at Villa, Coutinho, Luis, and Carlos. But I mean, I think it's one of those things that just that it almost feels like they just don't have the team. Yeah, I'm not sure if Steven Gerrard knows what his team is going to be in terms of which is going to be the team that's going to work together to actually produce the most results. And I see from last season, too, just too much inconsistency. Kartik, do you agree or disagree?
I agree. In fact, I was tempted to put Villa in the conversation of the bottom teams, because I think there's wild inconsistency, and their guys, given their price tag in the transfer market, underperforming at that club. We're now sort of seeing, in spite of the transfer value of the rest of the club, and Villa, by the way, for those who don't know, has spent a ton of money. In fact, their net spend at one point was the highest in the Premier League over a couple of windows, higher than Chelsea, higher than Man City, higher than Man United. It's not anymore because they sold Grealish, but it was for, I think, 3 or 4 windows. If you took a snapshot, it was the highest. I do think there is too much quality to go down, though. So you hear the phrase too good to go down. I think they do have too much. They have guys that can win matches in individual moments. Buendia, Coutinho, Danny. Mings, Ollie Watkins, these guys can really come through. And I also feel like both Mings and Konsa regressed to center backs last season. Ramsey, a young player I like a lot. But again, you know, there's a lot of repetitive pieces. Douglas Luiz, a player I like. But McGinn, you know, a lot of these guys are high value, but they don't necessarily always bring it or play well together.
Yeah, another team I'm concerned about that I think will probably end up, again, mid-table or a little bit lower than that is Southampton. And similar to Aston Villa, just I think a team that's, you mean, basically has the confidence in knowing that they are a Premier League team, that they've been there for some time. But I just question in terms of how well they'll do this season. They've got a very good coach. But the players, just the players don't stand out to me as kind of being a team that's going to push them into the top half of the table.
Yeah, I think Southampton, they are kind of static, and they have sold so many good players the last few seasons. Hasenhüttl has done an amazing job keeping them in the Premier League, but I just I think they'll stay up again this season, but they're not going to improve much, although they are spending more money than usual.
Yeah, unfortunately. With the Saints too, I mean, they've had, you and I have talked about this before, Kartik, in terms of the academy, and the Saints for so many years depended on the academy, just in terms of, like, you look at the last, say, 10 years, and the players that have come through, either through the academy or through from transfer signings, that players that they bought that were later sold on to other clubs. I mean, Sadio Mane is one perfect example, but there's been so many players that have come through Southampton that have gone on to bigger and greater things. And Southampton, at the same time, were able to cash in on that, get millions of pounds and dollars to reinvest in the club and in the players. But that funnel seems to have slowed down quite a bit. Do you agree, Kartik?
Yeah, I think that their academy clearly is not producing the level of player it was. I think that's a big part of what's going on there. And I don't know if it's the ownership change. Les Reed, who would run their academy brilliantly for years, left the club, I want to say now, 3 or 4 seasons ago. And Hasenhüttl has kept them up against the odds, quite honestly, given their squad. You still look at their squad, it's maybe not even of the quality of the teams we mentioned at the very bottom. But he's done a brilliant job. I think the supporters are on his side. They've gone out this window, Chris, interestingly, and bought a lot of guys that I think are young players for the future, hoping that Hasenhüttl can develop them. Now, what does that do for them this season in the Premier League? That's a big question. That's an open question. I think they stay up because they have a system, they have a manager, they have a spirit. They get results when they need to. The last few years when they've been under the cosh, but they're not pushing on in any way. And now Southampton, unfortunately, I would argue, maybe getting kind of stale in the Premier League.
Yeah, we've seen that. I mean, we talked about it before with Leicester, kind of in a similar vein in terms of not a lot of movement, and also feeling very comfortable in the Premier League. In terms of being there and benefiting from all the money that's coming in from media rights, etc. And Southampton, I feel, is kind of in that same kind of area. And they should be fine. They should stay up. They're a good enough team with a good enough coach to be inconsistent throughout the season, showing kind of flashes of brilliance, getting some big wins, some big victories, but then, you mean, losing some games and then just staying up. Another team that falls into that similar category, I think, Kartik, for me at least, is Wolverhampton Wanderers. Well-organized team, did well last season, you mean, but it is going to probably sell on some players to bigger clubs, cash in on that money, but seem to be pretty stable in the Premier League right now.
Yeah, they're very stable. I think that they have certainly an incubator of players through Jorge Mendes that they're able to bring in that are good enough to keep them in the Premier League, keep them generally in the top half of the Premier League, but not consistent enough to push on from a situation where they're finishing 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th to really competing for a top 4 spot. I thought a few years ago they might push on under under Nuno Espirito Santo. I knew it was a former Valencia manager. I was about to say Kiki Sanchez Flores because former Valencia managers seem to populate the Premier League or populate La Liga too. I mean, that's Valencia for you. But I guess they're mid-table. Maybe they're the prototypical mid-table side now, which is fine for a side that the last time prior to this were in the Premier League, got relegated consecutive seasons and found themselves in League One and needed a really good rescue job from Kenny Jackett to even get them back into the championship the following year. So I suppose this is a settled place for Wolves. The thing about Wolves last season versus under Bruno Lage versus under Nuno Espirito Santo is I think there was a more open style of play, which led them to be susceptible at the back. I mean, there were at least offhand three or four matches where Wolves blew big leads, two-goal leads, 3-1 leads, right? 2-0 leads, 3-1 leads, and drop points. So that's something that they need to shore up. But that expansive style has made them more entertaining than they were under Nuno.
Thanks for joining us for part two of our Premier League season preview. We'll be back tomorrow with part three.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.